Are you filled with fear, doubt, worry about the future of our country? Do you feel the urgency to act before it's too late? If yes, then this podcast is for you. It's time for us all to confront the critical issues threatening our nation's fabric, our democracy itself, irregardless of her political stance. If you're ready to face reality, handle the tough questions, and find real solutions, then here's your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux.
Welcome to the Terrified Nation podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Lynn Molyneux. Can we save it? That's what we're exploring in this podcast series. And for me, the answer is a resounding yes. Yes, we can save our nation. And we must. Now, this show is where we explore alternatives to being afraid. And in the very first five episodes, it feels like a long time ago now, I really offered a background framework that I recommend everyone listen to first. It provides a good foundation to answer the question, now what, as we think about the future of our nation. And in this podcast, I like to share some of my thoughts mixed in with interviewing guests about their preferred future for themselves. All of this is oriented towards getting us to a vision of a better America, a better United States than what we have today, something that might actually live into the ideals of our founders. And so today, I'd really like to share with you a few comments about two things that are happening in the world today. One is the total solar eclipse that happened on April 8th, and the other is the first ever criminal trial of a former president that begins April 15th. And I'm going to start with the eclipse, because it is really hard to describe a total solar eclipse to someone who hasn't experienced it. It's like all the words together cannot convey the feeling, the sense of awe that happens when you actually experience it for yourself. I'm going to attempt it anyway, of course. It was like going to this park on a sunny afternoon, and there were people everywhere in the park. The only thing that was really unusual about it was that it was a Monday, and usually this was like looked like a weekend crowd, if you will. And people were gathered in small groups, and they were sitting on blankets or chairs. There were kids and dogs running around. And a few folks had put up, of course, telescopes and cameras with really big lenses. And they would put their special glasses on and look up at the sky. And when the eclipse started, people would, you know, just look up every few minutes. And the atmosphere was very leisurely, but yet at the same time, it was anticipatory and alert. And this went on for about an hour. And as we progressed through the eclipse, it wasn't until the moon was about two-thirds in front of the sun. So it was covering up two-thirds of the sun. The light was warm and golden, and it was just like an early spring day kiss, if you will. And then in the next breath, the light shifted to this silvery gray, and the shadows kind of shimmered and danced as we were under some trees that hadn't leafed out yet. And we could see the shimmering, dancing shadows on the ground. And the trees themselves kind of felt like anchors into reality as the cosmic show continued. Around me, people started putting on jackets because there was a noticeable drop in temperature. The birds went silent. And the light started dimming at this kind of exponential speed. If you've ever sat and watched the sunset over the ocean, it was that kind of speed. Like all of a sudden, boom, the light is gone. And in this instance, though, because the moon is passing in front of the sun, what happened was there was this sudden flash as the last edge of the sun disappeared. And when totality hit in that moment, the hundreds of people in the park let out this collective, like, oh, wow, oh my God, exclamation. There was this sense of connection all of a sudden with all of these hundreds of people in the park. And we could see this purest, bright white corona of the sun. And it was so brilliantly white that everything else just looked black. And then near the bottom, there was the prominence, which is this, an extra sun flare, probably. I don't know, but it was just like, it looked like a diamond ring upside down. And then nearby, people were looking at Venus and Jupiter, which normally can't see during the day, of course. And they were like showing off while the sun was obscured. And this moment just felt so sacred and so full of awe. And we were just part of this wondrous shared experience called life. That was what the eclipse was like for me. I cried at the beauty of it. And I wanted to catch this moment, to savor it and to share it, to remember that flash and the collective gasp where nothing else mattered but that moment that we shared something awesome with people in the park. So a few days have passed since then, and I'm really grateful that I captured the sense of that feeling so that I can remember it accurately, more accurately than just another peak experience, right? And being philosophical, I also wondered about the meaning making around eclipse events. You know, I have friends who follow astrology who shared all of their various interpretations of what it meant. And I have other friends who were kind of poking fun because they missed being raptured. And so they were making fun, if you will, of their friends who really hoped to be delivered from this messy life on Earth. And life on Earth really is messy right now. You know, we're going through some big things, like the trial that's starting in Manhattan, probably as I'm recording this. Things happen and then nothing is ever the same again. And for me, the eclipse is one of those things. The pandemic was a global expression of that. Maybe this trial in New York will be like that too. Getting back to the eclipse for just another second here, can you imagine what it must have been like without all the scientific explanation for people to have the sun disappear in the middle of the day and then reappear? Because those kind of events probably were terrifying before we knew what it was about. And for others who started trying to figure out what it was all about, it was more electrifying. And there were early philosophers and inventors and scientists who really suggested that the Earth was not the center of all life. And Copernicus and Galileo come to mind if you want to look up a couple of folks. The people in charge, the establishment, largely the church at this point in time in the Middle Ages, did not like this alternative explanation about why eclipses happen. They really liked having the control of being able to tell the story about what that cosmic event meant. And so instead of welcoming the findings from these new early scientists, these early scientists were ostracized and jailed and sometimes killed for their perspective shifting knowledge. Like today, big things were happening as Europeans kind of began their renaissance and life emerged from the 900-year-long Middle Ages. During the Middle Ages, women were burned as witches. The Moors, who were Muslim, were driven from Spain. Jewish people were forbidden to own property, and many men served in the Crusades to save the Holy Land. Remnants of our human reactions can be seen today through the restriction on women's rights, through xenophobia, through anti-Semitism, and the rise of white Christian nationalism. And there's other isms that are designed to protect the power of the status quo. Now, the Renaissance was fueled and supported by a new technology that was called the Gutenberg printing press. And the printing press allowed for ideas and information to be shared broadly, quickly. You didn't have to rely on just the spoken word or a handwritten copy of a manuscript. You could print, mass print, many, many tracts. And this period of enlightenment actually did see many advances in art and architecture, the church reformation itself that brought about the Martin Luther and the Lutherans that started breaking apart the power of the Catholic Church. And yes, of course, science. It introduced, you know, the Gutenberg printing press actually introduced anonymous trash talking, if you will, and conspiracy theories, because they could be printed en masse and shared out broadly with people who could read. This period of enlightenment also gave birth to the founding ideals of the United States. It was a critical time, but in the middle of it, it was messy. The Enlightenment was really a massive and undeniable cultural evolution. You know, we are in a similar kind of pre-Enlightenment period right now in 2024. Cultural evolution is afoot. And in other words, change has always been and will always be inevitable. And like in the Middle Ages right now, we have a lot of folks who are fear-mongering against new ideas, against people who are different from ourselves. And this fear-mongering is the primary tool that's being used to slow down or stop or even reverse culture change. But like the end of the Middle Ages, new technology in the form of artificial intelligence or AI is rising, just like the Gutenberg printing press did. And this is going to initially confuse us until we learn to navigate the endless channels through which information moves and to discern fact from fiction, trash talk from good information. Technology, like the printing press, is a tool that will be used by anyone. And fear-mongering is going to flourish for the next little while. We're going to have to learn to ignore or mitigate the effects of these modern-day conflict profiteers who highlight culture changes as a war that we need to fight so we can protect what we have or we'll lose it forever. Well, heck, my blood pressure goes up just thinking about that. The way forward is actually to begin examining our attachments to the way things are. Does the status quo actually keep our lives in a better state? Does it improve our lives? Is the status quo really good for us? And for some people it is, for others it's not. Is it more comfortable? Is the status quo more comfortable because it's familiar than it actually serves us? I think that's a really important question to ask. And what culture change might offer choices that are more life-affirming instead of fear-based? Looking at the possibilities that are out there, ask yourself if you're seeing an opportunity in this changing, shifting culture, or are you afraid of the change? This might be where, if we decide that fear is running our lives, we might need to look and find our courage to open up to these new possibilities, to opportunities, despite being afraid of the repercussions. And just like during the eclipse, the sun inevitably emerged from behind the moon, humankind, we will emerge from our state of confusion into a new age. You know, the period of enlightenment outlined ideals that were never before even considered. And of course, they haven't been lived up to. But it was an age of creativity and advancement similar to our own time. There is a lot of material to work with in our messiness. And just as our founders eclipsed what was, we can eclipse our current selves for a brighter future and maybe actually live into those ideals. I've been thinking a lot about liberty and justice for all, and what does that really mean? As the trial of former President Trump moves forward, I hope that all of us will put aside whether we think he is a fraud and a perpetrator, or whether we think he's a victim of the establishment, put it all aside and follow the process of the rule of law. So let's look at the evidence and think about how we might serve on that jury today, not just in the court of public opinion, but based on facts and evidence. That's going to help us move forward better together. Thank you for listening to Terrify Nation today. And not only can we save our nation, but we will. There's a brighter future out there. Join me next time.
So that's it for today's episode of Terrified Nation. Head on over to iTunes or wherever you listen and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week who posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $15,000 private VIP day with Debbie Lynn Molyneux herself. Be sure to head on over to TerrifiedNationPodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Debbie Lynn's gift and join us on the next episode.